Okay, we shall be learning a little bit more in Simon Lamed Beis. We're actually reaching very much the end of the entire Simon. I mean, another couple of days. We're up to Siv Mem Gimel, and we shall be learning Yemir Hashem tonight, Siv Mem Gimel and Mem Dalet, which is telling us a lot of the details of the building of the tefillin a bit more in detail. We spoke yesterday about the Shein, and we move on from Siv Mem Gimel, tells a little bit more about it, which is the following. Charetz Shel Shein, when you're looking at the Shein, I'm talking about the Shein on either side of the bias. So the Charetz of the Shein, the Hainu Chudoy Lemato, Yegia Admo Kema Tefer, says the Shulchan Aruch, the Shein of the tefillin has to reach the base. It can't just be smallish or high up. It has to reach pretty much the base of the tefillin. It has to go down. I don't mean base as aleph base. I mean base b a s e of the. It has to go quite low. Charit shel shin, the bottom part has to go all the way down. The Mishnah Berurah in Kuf Tzadi Vav says bein yamin uvein de smol, whether it's the right one or the left one. We learned yesterday the Me'akev, so here also it's very important to actually make sure that the Shin reaches the bottom. And the Kuf Tzadi Zayin explains a bit further, Yegia Dehayinu Ad HaTetura Mamash. The Tetura is the base, it's the bottom part. That's the Tetura. You have to ensure that it reaches the Tetura Mamash. But the Eved, Koshi HaFidoloi Higia, but the Eved it's Koshi even if it doesn't reach the Tetura. Kol Sheish Tura Shashin Olof. So even if it is smaller or it doesn't reach the Tetura, it's still kosher, but L'chatchil it certainly should reach all the way down. Continues the Ramah, V'chein ha-yud she-beshin, similarly the yud of the shin, meaning the top parts of the shins, whether it's the three heads or the four heads, tzorech liga lemato b'shule ha-shin, they need to go all the way down to the main part of the shin, v'lo yim shoich ha-shin ha-be, elo shigam shule ha-shin yinir ala tefer. So what this means is that basically you have to ensure that the shin is a complete shin, and that the top parts reach all the way down the bottom part of the shin. Whether it's the shin with the three heads, whether it's the four heads, you have to ensure that the yud parts of the shin reach all the way down. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says.
It doesn't have to touch the top. It could be any
correct. Part. Correct. As far as that is concerned, yes. Yeah. And the Mishnah Berurah, the Kuf Tzadi Tes, speaks about the fact that it's even more severe, this part over here. And he says, Liga lematu belav hochi ein shem shin olav. He says that if the shin, the yud parts of the shin don't reach the bottom part, it's not considered a shin. Think about it. If you've got you've got three yuds or two yuds, and they don't reach down the main part of the bottom part of the shin, it's not considered a shin at all. It needs to go down. It needs to reach it. V'leikuvehu, and that's mamash ma'akev, afilu b'di'avet, even b'di'avet, uv'shin ha'smoilim echon negev echot, enu negev apostol, ayim b'vi'alocha. Basically what Mishnah Berurah says is that if you have got these yuds that don't reach the main part of the shin, do you know what I mean? The yuds that don't go down properly, then yeah, it's actually ma'akev. You'd have a very serious problem, you're ma'akev b'di'avet. This is with regards to the shin. And now continues the Shulchan Aruch Tzif Mem Dalet, tells us about the rest of the tefillin. Now, we need to understand that everything we're discussing now is actually only, we have to realize that the tefillin has got two parts. The tefillin has got the what we have been speaking about so far, it's not about the top part of the tefillin, which is the base of the tefillin, which we mentioned that needs to be square, and needs to be, all the halachas we've been speaking about, in fact, even the fact that it's been me'oir echot, it needs to be one, it's the bias of the tefillin, the top part of the tefillin. Now, we are moving on, and now we're going to speak about the bottom part, the tetura and the mavat of the tefillin, which is the bottom part of the tefillin. If we just show pictures to make that 100% clear, you've got to thank you so much for, so everything we've been speaking until now, obviously, is this part of the tefillin over here. Can you see? Right? This part over here. Now we're going to be addressing this part over here. Yeah? So just to get 100% sure. So, right. Yeah. Beautiful, really beautiful picture. I really strongly recommend to have a look at it later. Really, really beautiful. It's really, really, really stunning. So helpful. Right, so let us see what the Shulchan Aruch says. just to explain that a little bit. Titura the tefillin. Okay, the titura the tefillin. Titura is the Shulchan Aruch is going to explain himself what exactly the titura is. Halachal Moshe Mesinai. The titura is halachal Moshe Mesinai. Every tefillin needs to have a titura. What is it exactly? V'hainu. Meaning, Shiyosim oir lemato lechasto ispi habatim. Shiyosim, you need to put oir leather lemato underneath lechasis to cover pia batim, the opening of the batim. You need to have a layer of leather underneath the batim, whether it's filin sheliad, whether it's filin rosh. You need to have a layer underneath. Benire, and it will appear kein daf, like a plank shel gesher of a bridge. Hanikra titura. Titura is a name, how you call a plank of a bridge. That's called a titura. And tefillin have borrowed that name. Now you need to call it, you need to cover up, as it were. It's a bit like, not quite sure what the moshel nimshel is, but I suppose this part over here, you're bridging over, so I suppose it's called a titura. It's bridging over that layer. You need to have underneath the bias, you need to have, make sure that it's covered, that it's, there's a layer there, and that's why it's called a titura. Continues the Shulchan Aruch, Ma'avarta, what's the Ma'avarta? The Ma'avarta that fin halachal Moshe Mesinai, and Ma'avarta that fin is similarly also halachal Moshe Mesinai. V'hainu sh'oir ha'titura, the leather of the titura, ye'oroich mitzad echot, it needs to be extended, it needs to go further. The titura is not just underneath the batim, rather needs to extend, it needs to go further, mitzad echot from one side, v'yase bo'i ha'ma'avarta, and you make a ma'avarta out of it. What is that? Keitzad? Yechatchenu b'shnei tzodim, cut it off from both sides. We're going to see soon if there's a picture of that. Shaloit yerechova k'moyroichev atitura. That needs to be wider than the titura. He's going to explain. Kidei she'nika ribua atitura. It needs to be exposed. That the ribua of the titura needs to be evident. And from that ma'avarta, that extended piece that you're creating, the ratzua is going to go through. And because of that, nikeis ma'avarta. It's called ma'avarta. Says the Shulchan Aruch that you're going to have the batim. You have the batim, and then you have the bais. And underneath, this is not such a good picture, which is not. I mean, it's a brilliant picture, just doesn't help exactly what we. You have the bais and. Is it clear? Or is it a bit too far? This picture that I'm pointing over here could be either. You have the piece over here, you have the bais, you have the ma'avat, you have the titura underneath it, and then you have the ma'avata. You need to have an opening over here that you'll be able to make the ratzua go through. Hence, over here you've got it, beautiful, beautiful ma'avata. Hence, it's called ma'avata, because it's over, the ratzua passes through it. Can you see the bottom left picture? Maybe should we pass around these pictures, but with permission. So you have a map, that's why it's called a ma'avata, because the ratzua go through. Similarly also with the tefillin shel yad, you also need to make a ma'avarta and a titura. Right. Now, continues the Shulchan Aruch, and it says this, the halachas goes further as follows. Now, once you have created the batim, you have a bais, you have a ma'avarta, you have a titura. You have now an opening for the tzua. Now, after creating all that, what do you need to do? You obviously need to put the parshas in. But even with regards to the entering of the, for the putting of the parshas into the tefillin, there's very many halachas about it. How do you put the tefillin in? Yigalgel the parshas in. Yigalgel kol parsha. You should roll it up every parsha. Yigalgel kol parsha misoifa from its end letchilosa to its beginning. So you roll it from the back to the front. Yigalgel kol parsha misoifa letchilosa. So what will you see? What's going to be sticking out? If you roll something from the beginning to its end, what's going to be the part that is sticking out? That's right, the very beginning, Shema. Mesoifret chilasa, vekoicham, and wrap it up, beklaf cotton, with a small klaf. So you've rolled it up, and then afterwards you go over it, you wrap it up with an additional klaf. V'yeish makpidim, many people are makpid, melekochon to wrap it up, elo beklaf kosher, with a kosher klaf. That is generally done, that you wrap it up afterwards. You wrap it after having rolled up the parasha. You wrap it up in additional parasha. And there's an halacha l'moshim Sinai. Sheikroich oleo sar behemo. You take a hair of a behemo of an animal. Oy chaya of a chaya toim from a toya animal. You take a hair. And what do you do with that hair? V'noyagim lichoich, and the minig is to wrap up lichoich, to wrap it up, seol the hair ala pasha on the pasha. Ve'achakach, and afterwards koichin olav klaf. Some say you put first in the hair, and after to wrap up the additional klaf. Ve'achakach koichin olav klaf kosher. V'choizrim ve'koichin olav seol. So some say you put in the hair, you put around it, you wrap around it, and after you put in additional hair, it could actually be the same hair, but you make sure the hair is sticking out then. The minig is that that hair that is sticking out is a hair which is from an eagle, from a calf. And if you didn't find a hair, if there is no hair of a calf, you take from a cow, or of a shoyr, of a bull. V'roichet ha'aseor heitev, and you should wash it thoroughly, betchilo, initially, ad she'enoki, before, until it's completely clean. Doesn't mean that it's white. Doesn't need to be white, but it needs to be clean. V'ktsas seor ze, and a little bit of that hair, tzorich she'iroi, must be seen, chutz, labatim, outside the batim. And this is what we can see with all our tefillin. There's a bit of hair sticking out. That is the hair that was wrapping around the pasha. Right? That's the hair that is sticking out. Yes? It is.
So how come
saying it's a The minig is that the halacha l'moshim Sinai is that you need to have it. Very good question. The halacha l'moshim Sinai is that you need to have it and that it's wrapping around the pasha. And the minig is to have it sticking out. And also the fact that it's that. Yeah, and the meaning is also that you're using a calf hair. Okay, can I just, with permission, can I just ask, because there's some really outstanding pictures, I'm not even sure which pictures are the most important. Can I just ask maybe to pass around? Some of the pictures are really, really helpful for the halachas we're discussing now. Maybe just page through it and maybe pass on afterwards. Right. So this is what the Shulchan Aruch says. What Shulchan Aruch says. And let's see what the Mishnah Berurah says in Seif Katan Reish Aleph. Mishnah Berurah in Reish Aleph says, Shiosim. Va'afilu ledas ha-soifim da'abotim tzichim liyos kulam mo'er echad mamash. Even according to the opinions that hold that the batim needs to be out of one piece of leather, Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah now says, Mikol mokum nevertheless, lo'i ba'inu shi'atiturim ha'avarte ha'im ha'batim mo'er echad. The titur and the ma'avarte do not need to be part of the same piece of leather. You'll see that in that picture, if I'm not mistaken, they actually are. If I'm not mistaken, they are. Some people, but it doesn't need to be according to the Mishnah Berurah. If you've got the batim made out of one piece of leather, and the ma'avarte and the titur made out of a different piece of leather, that is fine as well. But he said that's fine as well. That's the meaning of the Shulchan Aruch. Mikol Mokim, nevertheless, in Bifef, Shori, if it is possible, Toiv Lahadre Gam Bezeh, it is proper to be Mahadre with this as well. Lot says Das Machmirim Bezeh, because there are opinions that are stringent in that, there are shit as a whole. That the entire tefillin, the parshas, the ma'avarta, the tetur, everything should be one piece of leather. So there are Machmirim. But, and I believe the pictures over here are like that, if I'm not mistaken, but it's not an absolute necessity, it's a hiddo, and it's not my akev. Mishnah Berurah says, Kotn Reish Dalet, Misoifo Letchiloso, Pe'ei Shenoisno Leveiso, when you're putting in, you need to wrap up the parshas, and that's a skill on its own, to wrap up the parshas. It's a skill on its own, you need to wrap them up very, very tight, without damaging it. You know what I mean? You need to wrap it up very tight, and damaging. Remember, you have to actually be able to put them in the batim. Apparently, there's quite common damage can happen when the batimach put the parshas in the batim. You can scratch and you can actually damage the parshas quite easily. So you need quite a lot of expertise to wrap them up really, really nicely without damaging it. And afterwards, putting it into the it's quite a challenge. I mean, can you imagine That it's quite as you need skilled hands for that. When you're actually putting into the bais, similarly to mezuzah, that it's rolled up towards Shema, not vice versa. Mitam that's the way it has to be, because that's the starting point. You need to have the starting point showing out. Reish zayin in Mishneh Berurah beklaf kosher needs to be with kosher klaf. Roitz loyma, aval loy mebehem v'chayat tmeo. You may not use for the hair. You may not use an animal which is a trefa animal. It can't be an avela. Again, it doesn't have to be slaughtered. It doesn't have to be shechted. It doesn't have to be kosher, but it has to be a type of animal which is kosher. Roitz loyma, aval loy mebehem v'chayat tmeo. The Mishneh Berurah in Tziv Reish Ches says, first white line, if you didn't wrap around the sa'a, around the pasha, it's actually posul. So there's two things we need to remember. There's two things happening. So you need, after having rolled the pasha, you need to have two things. You need to have an additional klaf around it. Is there pictures of that? I don't remember seeing. Is there a picture of a pasha around the klaf? No. And then, so that needs to happen. You need to have a klaf around the pasha. And similarly, also, you need to have a hair sticking. You need to have it around and after sticking out. Whatever comes first, these two things are essential. Wrapping around the pasha and having an animal hair, a calf hair sticking out. What comes first, that's not ma'akev either way. But if you didn't do both of them, then it's going to be actually possible. Reish test Mishneh Berurah noyagin lichoich ki yesh oimim shichoich asar al gufa pasha. Some say that you need to wrap around the hair around the pasha. Ve'achar kach, and afterwards yichoich, you should wrap around the klaf lemalo. You put the hair, and then after you put the additional klaf. V'yesh oimim, some say lepach, the other way around. V'lochein noyagim, and therefore the custom is lekam divashneim to have both ways. So some say you first put around the additional pasha, then you wrap it around with the hair, and others say the other way around. You first take around the hair and you wrap it around, and then you put the klaf. So the order, there's a machloek is about the order, but everybody holds you need to have both. And since there's a machloek is about the correct order, we actually tend to have both. We put the hair, we wrap around, and then the hair again. So I think that very often they use the same hair. It can be others, it can be the same, it doesn't really make enough kamina, but you could really have the same or different, it doesn't make a difference, but you have a hair wrapping around with additional klaf, and then again a hair, and that's what's sticking out. Right. Save cotton reish yud. Let's have a guess, Rabbi Yisai. Why is it a hiddur to have a hair of an eagle of a calf? That's right. Says the Mishneh Berurah, that's right. In reish yud, says the Mishneh Berurah, shall eagle. Kedei sheyizkoir maiseh eagle v'lo yechto. Now that's fascinating. Because the Mishneh Berurah does not say what you would have expected, similar to what you said. What would you have expected the Mishneh Berurah to say? Pardon? That's right. Oh, I wasn't thinking of that. That's very interesting. That's really interesting. We'll think about it for a minute. I have to get back to it in a minute. I just want to finish that sentence because that's really interesting. I would have expected it to be, what was your nusach? To be mechapa. I agree with you. I would have expected it's that it's mechapa. That is something, there's a kapora happening from having a hair of an eagle that's mechapa on our veira. But it doesn't, we say slightly, yeah, but over here, the first part of the Mishneh Berurah doesn't really say that. The first part of the Mishneh Berurah is, Kedei sheyizkor maaseh eagle v'lo yechto. It's for us to positively, to encourage us to remember the maaseh eagle. So, as opposed to the last words of the Mishneh Berurah, quite right. V'gam kedei lechaper al ovo inzeh, that seems to be more of an automatic, as it were, kapor of the chet. But the first words of the Mishneh Berurah says, Kedei sheyizkor maaseh eagle v'lo yechto. I don't know if you'll agree with me, but it sounds to me like there's an inyan to positively think about the Maaseh Eagle as you're putting on the tefillin. Because otherwise, what does the Mishneh Berurah say? In order to, you should remember the Maaseh Eagle. The hair is there to encourage us to tell us to think about the Ma'aseh Egel, to tell us to think about it. And so that's not an automatic kapora, like it sounds like from the last words of Mishnah Berurah. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah, the first part of Mishnah Berurah tells us in order to remember, it's encourages us to remember the Chet Egel. The Kosova Eli Rabbah, the Mizeh Atam, Toiv Lasses, Koltik and Tfilimoy Egel. From this very reason, there's an Indian to make all the tefillin out of calf's hide, out of calf's leather, because it connect it to the Ma'aseh Egel. I have to think about what you said. That's a very interesting thought. You're saying that Ein Kategoy Na'aseh Sanegoy, the famous rule that the Gemara mentions in so many places, Rashi Al HaTorah as well, this rule of Ein Kategoy Na'aseh Sanegoy. Can you please expand on your thought? It's a question, I assume, or is it an answer? What do I, can you please expand on this? Oh, but that's a very interesting thought. Can you expand on this a little bit? That, why would it be Ein Kategoy? Let's just think about this. Normally we find the Ein Kategoy Na'aseh Sanegoy. We normally find the concept that something which is an accuser is not a Sanegoy, cannot defend us. And we find this rule very much with regards to gold. But there's no, for instance, as an example, there's no gold in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In the Beis HaMikdosh, there's no gold. And the reason for that, in various places of the Beis HaMikdash, there was no gold. Because the Gemara says that Ein Kategoy had the gold, as the Chet HaEgel was made out of gold, and the item.
But all the korbanos are made from meat, aren't they?
So then
there is Ein Kategoy.
Ein Kategoy Na'aseh Sanegoy.
The same thing with the meat using the.
Right, so it's true that it needs to be always a bit understood exactly how far does it go. Right. But the calf meat directly has to be clarified a bit. But the point being that meat is not something which is the category. It was the gold aspect or the calf aspect. That's right. Yeah, that's the point. So that's very interesting. That's interesting. Why don't we say over here in category and Sanego? It's interesting. Right. I know you're quoting Chazal. So you see, I would also fill in that aspect maybe doesn't apply at all. Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. Right. And then it says that it has to be clean. Right. Okay. Okay. Let's just maybe finish off with Sif Mem Hey. It's a short Sif. Yitin called Pasha Bevais Shelo. The Batei Machal then should insert all the Pashas in its own bias. She is a Kufa Me'umot Bevais Shelo. It should be standing up. Not lying down and not even slanty. The Pasha should be standing up in the bias where they're placed in. The Mishnah Berurah explains that in Reish Yud Gimel, Kedech Chiyosa, the way it's read. So as opposed to down, has the right order, not upside down, but the way you'd read it. Kedech Chiyosa, the Kedech Shema Midin Sefer Torah Behechol, the same way, the same position you'd put a Sefer Torah in the Hechol. But the Evet, im nosno sham mushkeves, if it's slanty, and lifsel at film mishvila, if it's slanty, it doesn't mean it's not possible by the Evet. Chenkos of Besiois, Bishem Arib, and Chaviv, Chenkos of Abach, and Morgan Avon. Venir de Mikonokum ala Abotzach, Lesakain, if you find that your tefillin was slanty, then in the future, it's true that by the Evet it's not possible, but you should fix it for future. Take them out and place them back in halachically correct. I think that Sofim will put in just to make sure that it remains absolutely straight. I think that all the expertise of the Batei Machal is very, it's an expertise, no less than a Sofer. We always look at a Sofer being an expert. The Batei Machal is just as much of an expert. In fact, that itself, the Batei Machal is often divided in a few jobs, a few parts of the, it's quite a process. As we're learning, it's quite a process. And the expertise also, they sometimes have, they put additional parts. If the bias is quite large, and they manage to put them in, and there's a bit of airspace there, in order not to become slanty, they add a bit of cloth there. I think they add a bit of cloth there to make sure that it doesn't go slanty. I think that's what some Batei Machal do. Just to recap what we covered tonight, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach Shemoy. We started speaking about the shin, that the shin should go all the way down to the base of the tefillin, until the bottom part. We also said that the yuds should be reaching the main part of the shin. This seems to be ma'akev because otherwise it hasn't got the same shame shin. We spoke about it. We defined exactly the titura, what a titura is. We learned that a titura doesn't have to be part of the same leather piece, single unit with a batim, doesn't have to be the same leather. We learned about the ma'avarta. Ma'avarta is considered called ma'avarta loshen overpassing, because that's the ratzua is goes through. That's called the ma'avarta. We then learned about the continuation of the process, which you rolled and up the parsha, misoifa letchilos, from its end to its beginning. They're then wrapped around. We learned that there's two things that need to happen. You need to be wrapped around with an additional klaf, and you need to have a hair of a calf around it as well. The order we learned is a machloikas, and therefore we actually do both. We do that. We wrap around with a hair, we add a klaf, and then we have another hair around that. So we're yotzek onto all opinions. And the minhag is that the hair sticking out is out of a calf to remind us or to encourage the thinking about the chet ha'egel. He has to be a clean hair and he has to be sticking out only a little bit. Ktsas seor, I failed to mention that. It needs to be a little bit. If there's more than, I think the poets can say, an etzba, which is equivalent of a centimeter, it's a problem. It has to be sticking out only a little bit. So there again, you need to be an expert to, if it's too little, because it's no good, because it needs to be seen. At the same time, it can't be an etzba's length, it needs to be less than that.
Then it can be cut shorter if it's too long.
Yeah, I suppose you can, yeah. I don't see why not. And it needs to be visible from the outside. And then finally, we learn Sif Mem Hei, which tells us that that the parshas need to be standing up, no slanty, and certainly not in a different position.